The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 17th, 2019.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a nice day here it is in Sonoma County, and I'm very excited about today's show. Joining me in the studio is Lorez Bailey, who is in her second year serving as the executive director of CHOPS Teen Club here in Sonoma County. And what's so interesting about CHOPS Teen Club is I had no idea of the magnificent programs they have. Actually, the mission of the organization is to provide a safe, fun, and productive place where Sonoma County teenagers can connect and discover. I love this, and discover their true potential. We all need that, a place to discover our true potential. I know at one time when I was a teenager, it was all those wonderful people that came forward and told me, hey, you're okay, you can do it, and here's a place for you. Anyway, talking about teenagers and talking about supporting our youth, which I think is so, so important, as I hope you've been following Women's Spaces as we've been doing a lot of interviews around the environment and around the environmental activism that our young people are doing. And I found a real interesting program, and I want to do a shout out to our Senator Mike McGuire, who is proud to announce that 10,000 degrees, again, never heard of this, but so I thought it was really important to let my listeners know about this. 10,000 Degrees, an organization that has changed the lives of thousands of students from low-income backgrounds by helping them get to and through college. And it's been chosen to be the North Coast Prophet of the Year. So congratulations to 10,000 Degrees. And you know, it's really interesting when I start reading and trying to find out some background, I found the mission, and we should all have this mission in heart when we think of our young people, to help students from low-income backgrounds to get to and through college in order to positively impact their communities and world. What a great vision that is, you know, providing youth an opportunity to get educated. You know, I have to tell you a little secret. I didn't go back to school until I was 30 years old. And what was so interesting, when I went back to school, I realized all the things I didn't learn. I realized all the support that I did not get, and I had to catch up. So it's very, very important to prepare our youth for college, and at least to look at the option. Anyway, another thing that's happening, today is Monday, June 17th, and today, what was very historically, when it comes to women's issue, it was Susan B. Anthony's trial started, listen to this, ladies, for illegally voting in Rochester, New York. And then on June 19th, and this is June 1873, a day after, the justice who was the judge who was handling this, Justice Ward Hunt, found Susan B. Anthony guilty of the federal crime of voting without the right to vote. I mean, ladies, you know, we got to really think about what's going on here if we lose our rights. Can you imagine this woman was arrested because she went to the polls? She felt that she was an equal citizen and had a right. But it gets even more interesting. It was more interesting. The judge instructed the juries to find her guilty. And he denied her lawyer's motion for a new trial. Well, fortunately, at that time, they must have had a wonderful Supreme Court, or at least a Supreme Court that had a little more support towards women, let's say. So what happened, it went to the Supreme Court, and they said that they threw the case out. They said they had no right to arrest her for that. Excuse me, they had no right to inform the jury to find her guilty, but it was okay that they arrested her for illegally voting. It's just amazing. You know, I always try to encourage my women listeners to please, please listen to watch Iron Jawed Angels. It's a video that talks about the struggle that women went through from 1916 to 1920 to actually get the vote. And whether we realize it or not, we only got the vote by one. And 2020 is coming up, and we're going to celebrate 100 years, and women are still not voting. It's just amazing. It's mind-boggling to me. Well, I want to talk a little bit about what I did this weekend. This weekend was very, very interesting. As you know, I've been talking about Juneteenth and going to the festival and all the other good things that happened, and it indeed did happen. It was wonderful. I want to do a shout out for all the folks that attended and the wonderful, wonderful performers and bands that all volunteered. It was a total volunteer organization. I want to do a real shout out to Nancy and Harold Rogers from the Red Rose Cafe, who were just absolutely marvelous in supporting and putting that whole event together. And I myself am on their board, and it's just such an honor to be doing something like that. And today, the theme there was freedom. Freedom. I mean, as I've told the story so many times, that in 1863, when the Civil War ended and all of a sudden the slaves were found out that they were free in Galveston, Texas, it took them 2 years before they got the information. And that's what they celebrate, because Juneteenth is the true sense of freedom. But at the same time, when we look at our world, you know, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how free are we free yet? You know, when is it going to happen? You know, we have a lot of things to look at in this culture, but it was a wonderful, wonderful event. And, you know, we had the Entrepreneurs of Tomorrow, and it was great that we were able to present a special scholarship to the New Age Ballet Company. Victor Temple works with youth, works with low-income youth, and we were able to give them a scholarship that, so they could divide it among their students so they could participate. And I know for myself as an ex-dancer, nothing better than dancing for stimulating the body, mind, and spirit. So thank you, Victor Temple, and a shout-out. And he was awarded a wonderful, wonderful scholarship from our organization. And then I want to do a shout-out. I have to do a shout-out for two people. What we did was we presented two plaques to two special people. One group was called the Barbershop, who's been in one of the first barbershops in Santa Rosa for African-American people, and we presented him with a special honorary plaque thanking him very much for all his service and all his kindness and generosity in the community. And then we also awarded a plaque to the Prayer Chapel and the Prayer Chapel singers, you know, and it was such an honor to see and to see these women perform. I mean, they just have the house rocking, that's for sure, with that beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spiritual gospel music. And I have to do a shout out to Hall's Awards and plaques over up there in Rohnert Park for providing the most beautiful plaques I ever saw in my life. And so thank you so much. You know, one of the things that Juneteenth really proves to me, beyond a level of doubt, is the importance of community. The importance of community. And also what was really interesting about the event, too, was it's very mixed cultures. You know, the African Americans get together, Caucasians get together, everybody gets together. And it's such a harmonious place. Not one incident. Peace, loving, care, you know, people just having a good time celebrating their freedom. But what's so interesting, you know, to my Hispanic folks out there that are listening, I want to encourage you next year that I hope to see more of you out celebrating Juneteenth with us. It's going to be the 50th anniversary here that it started in Martin Luther King Park. Well, that's a lot, you know. There's a lot to talk about. You know, another thing that's happening in our community that I think is very exciting, and I was so busy, I'm gonna go see the actual display probably sometime this week. It's called Grassroots. It's created by Eric Stanley and Brian Appergrath, and it's happening June 16th to September 15th at the Museum of Sonoma County. And what's happening is this is going to be, let me read what they said. Though it has been a part of human history for thousands of years, cannabis, it is a cannabis display, has recently become part of our society in new ways. For over a century, cannabis was prohibited and kept in the shadows, but that has changed to a large degree. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to let you see all the wonderful things that happen, and it's going to be happening at the Museum of Sonoma County, and that's on 7th Street in Santa Rosa, and it's going to be on display from June 16th, that was yesterday, to September 15, 2009. And I promise you, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful exhibit. Well, oops, got some paper in here, Ken. Ken gives me that look whenever I put some paper on there. Anyway, I want to do a shout-out to my niece, Ray Norton. She just graduated. She just graduated San Diego State in feminist studies, and nothing is dearer to my heart than to hear someone in my family that has actually graduated with a degree in feminist studies. So congratulations to you, my love, and I wish you all the luck in the world, for heaven's sakes. It feels so good whenever you hear that young people are succeeding. And you know what's so interesting too right now, especially with young women, it's really time that we have to stand up and really have to participate. There's a lot of organizations right now. And what I'm going to try to do is next week is maybe have a list of organizations that you can participate in, because a presidential election is coming up and we all have to be part of the campaign. We all have to work. We all have to work for it, and we all have to register to vote. It's very, very, very important. Well, we're going to take a musical break, and we are going to be talking about Chops. Oh my, my mouth is getting dry. Chops Teen Center. And I thought the song I would play is just a wonderful, wonderful song. It was written by Bob Dylan. He wrote it for his firstborn son. It's called Forever Young. And what it is, it's kind of like a blessing to me when I listen to it. I think this is what I hope for all young children. And, you know, the children are our future. You know, the children is tomorrow. I was on an outing with my granddaughter and my daughter, and it was just amazing. And I had a little incident. It was real interesting. I had a little incident in how they took care of me. Well, that's the future. You know, I gave birth. I have a future. You know, it's the future. Children are our future. They're the ones who end up taking care of us on some levels. They really do. And they also, when they go into maturity, they start developing the world and helping to make it a better world for all of us. So we have to recognize that. So when I hear this song, that's what I think of. I think of, I'm wishing this for all the children in the world. And that goes beyond all borders. That goes beyond all religion. That goes beyond all colors, all nations. Just children. Children, the miracle of a little child. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to Forever Young, and I Love Who It's Being Sung by Andrea May and the Forest Rangers. Can you hear it?
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. And may you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. And may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young. May you grow up to be true. May you always know the truth and see the light surrounding you. May you always be courageous. your song always be sung, and may you stay forever young. May you stay forever young.
Oh, if only that were true, to stay forever young. You know, one of the lyrics that I picked up that was real important. Oh, Ken, something's happening there. That's our next song. What a Wonderful World. I love that song, too. But I picked up a real interesting line in here. The wind, they may you understand or have strength when the winds change and shifts. That means may you have the strength when the changes in life come through, that you can face them, that you can climb up the hill instead of staying on the bottom of the hill and feeling that it's hopeless. Anyway, for you folks just joining in, you're listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And before I introduce my guest, I just had two lovely people just come into my studio here. My beautiful granddaughter, Caitlin B., which is Beverly, but she calls herself Caitlin B., just like I call myself, Elaine B., and her wonderful partner, Joel. Welcome. Come say hello real quick, you guys. How are you doing? What are you doing here?
Hello, hello.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Come over here, Katie. Say hi. How do you like seeing Grandma on the radio?
Oh, it's wonderful.
What brings you down here today?
You.
Oh,
of course.
Well, I'm really happy to see you. So sit and have and watch the show, and you're going to hear a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful interview. Hey, let's do a shout out to your mom. I know she's listening. Hey, Susan. Hi.
Hi, Mama.
Anyway, remember, this is community radio. That's the beauty of community radio. We can be spontaneous, we can be live, and we can be real. Well, without further ado, I want to introduce my beautiful guest sitting across from me, Lorez Bailey. Welcome, Lorez. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh, no, it's so much fun. And, you know, it's really interesting. I'm sorry we don't have headphones. Something happened with the headsets today. You know, before we begin, Lorez, I would like to tell my listeners a little bit about you. Is that okay with
you? Sure.
Okay, Lorez Bailey is in her second year serving as the executive director of CHOPS Teen Club. Lorez has over 20 years' experience implementing and managing youth development programs. She has a passion for creating an environment and opportunities that empower you to expand their capacity to be confident and well prepared for whatever future endeavors they pursue. Lorez earned her BA in Communication Studies and Telecommunications from San Francisco State University and a master's degree in education from Sonoma State University. Lorez has also worked a large part of her career in media. So when she's a radio person, I'm going to ask her to evaluate me after this. Anyway, this year, I am so proud to announce that she was recognized by Senator Mike Thompson, Congressman Mike Thompson, as Woman of the Year here in Sonoma County. So congratulations. What an honor.
Thank you so much. You know, I am honored.
Oh, anything else you'd like to add to this bio that I gave? Anything that you feel is important?
Only one correction. I graduated from Sacramento State, so let's give CSUS its, you know, its props. And just the fact that I'm a mom of three daughters and I'm happily married, but, you know, having three daughters and close to three teenagers myself at home, so my joke is I work to get away from that.
Funny.
But other than that, no, I think you caught everything.
No, well, it's really an honor to have you here. You know, I'd like to just... Let us know, how did you feel? You know, here you are as a woman. I know as we get into the interview, people are going to see some of the struggles that you yourself had. Now, here you are. You've evolved to the place of becoming Woman of the Year in Sonoma County. I mean, what does that feel like to you, and what does that say for other women?
It means so much to me. I've often said that we have a lot of amazing people in this community, and we hear of a lot of different awards, and sometimes you self-nominate, and then you go, oh, my God, I can't believe I won, but you know you wrote your own nomination. This really was a surprise. It came out of left field. I was at my daughter's evening lacrosse game, and I kept getting this, you know, no, like caller ID with no name. And, you know, we always are reluctant to answer those phone calls. And I thought, well, someone just keeps calling and they keep calling and they're thinking, well, maybe something's wrong with one of my kids. Let me answer this. And to my surprise, it was Congressman Mike Thompson. And that's when he told me about the award.
Wait a minute. You know, I'll tell you, Mike Thompson to me is very impressive. I mean, he called you himself. He didn't have his aide call
he
you.
He called me himself. But now I have that phone number locked down in my phone, just in case for future reference. But yeah,
no, I think he's a wonderful example. You know, they had a thing with the art contest, and he actually came down to Santa Rosa and gave each one of the kids that participated in an honor, a declaration of Congress. From Congress. It was just amazing. Well, you know, Therese, talk about what was your motivation for working with youth, and what are some of the major challenges that you have faced, you know, as a woman of color, as a youth yourself?
How I actually started working with youth is I had typical, like you said, so I've had many different iterations in my career and done different things, but I always had community service that was based around youth. So all my service activities, I was running youth programs in the Iron Triangle in Richmond and Oakland, and I would drive down every weekend from Sonoma County to do these programs, or I ran a Promising Pearls program for girls. And when the economy got really, really bad, I was working at Sonoma State, got laid off, and said, I'm going to go to grad school. I always wanted to do it and decided to do it. And part of that process is you kind of figure out, kind of start thinking about what do you want to do next. And I finished that program at Sonoma State saying, I want to work at a nonprofit and I want to work with kids. Finally had a like clear focus of what I wanted to do. It's like, why do I do all this service-based work? How do I find a way to get paid for it? But also something that I'm just truly passionate about, because I wanted to be able to walk into work every day and love my job. And that is really how I just decided to do a career change and start working with young people.
Amazing, you know, is again, you know, what we were talking about at the beginning, the wish for the youth, that when one door closes, another one opens. But you have to have the strength to move through that. And the self-esteem. You know, the self-esteem is very, very important. Well, you know, it's very interesting because when I do interviews with people, I have them send me 5 questions and a little bit of a bio. And as I read through your bio, I thought, now this is very interesting. So it looks like you yourself had a very challenging youth. So you kind of bring that to the table. So would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm originally from Oakland, and I would say that I didn't have a story of, you know, poverty or anything like that, but I just had a home that, for reasons I won't get into, that was just a stressful space. And I also was not doing well academically. I'm an example of someone who had to go to summer school every summer for academics and barely graduated from high school. I went to a very prestigious high school, Bishop O'Dowd in Oakland, and I tell the story about, for some reason, I knew I wanted to go to college. In fact, my mom is a college graduate and graduated from Cal, and I didn't realize till adulthood that my dad actually was functioning illiterate till I got older, but I knew I wanted to go to college, and I was always in the college center at my high school. And one day the counselor said to me, I don't know why you keep coming in here. You're not going to go to college. And that was devastating.
Oh, wow.
And I, you know.
I want to share something with you, because when I graduated junior high school, my counselor told me I would be the one that would never make it in the world.
And we run into so many successful adults with stories like that, where someone in life told them, you're not good enough, you're not going to succeed, are you the right person? We've all had those experiences, but somewhere I had a drive, and I knew that's what I wanted to do, and I ended up going to Laney in the community college and then transferring to Sac State.
No, you got to tell us, how did you overcome that horrible statement?
You know, what's so funny about it is I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell anybody that that had been said to me. I didn't tell my mom and my parents until many years later, which they were like, I wish we had known that. You know, we could have addressed that. But I just kept it to myself, and I ended up going to the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising in San Francisco because you didn't have to have a high GPA. You didn't have to take SATs. And I was like, well, this is, I've always been a fashion-driven person, and I thought, well, this will be my place. But after a year there, I still knew I wanted to go to college. And so that's when I just started going to the JC and knocking off a class at a time. And when I talk to young people, I always tell them the community colleges are a great way to have a clean slate. If you didn't do well in high school for whatever reason, you can always go to the community college and start all over again and create a new destiny. And you can get rid of all of those voices that told you, you know, you're not going to do it. You're never going to go to college because it is opportunity. So that's what I did.
You know, you brought up an interesting point. Before we take a musical break, mm-hmm. I want to go over this a little bit. When you said about the fact about not, you know, when you go to junior college, you can kind of clean the slate mm-hmm. from high school. What do you think? You know, what I don't understand is you have 12 years of high school, and yet you come out and you have to, you know, it's almost like there's not an understanding of youth and community for some reason. What do you think about that?
Well, I think one, as adults, we don't really realize our story and our journeys are very important. Young people think, oh, you always knew you wanted to do that. You always knew you wanted to be the principal. You always knew you wanted to be a teacher, and life must have been easy for you. And they don't realize we all have a journey, and sometimes it's an experience or someone you've met who inspires you in a certain way, and it takes you a different direction, or a job, or a volunteer opportunity, or someone saw something special in you and they bring that out. But I think it's really important as adults to tell young people the journey that we go through to get where we are, which is never ending.
So I'm going to tell you a little one of my journeys. I went back to school when I was 30 years old. And I could read and write, but I couldn't comprehend. And so I got into a writing class with Mr. Linville, and then I got very ill. I had four classes. Well, Mr. Linville gave me when he evaluated my papers, he says, "You know, Elaine," he says, "you're a great writer." He says, "but you don't know anything about sentences and you don't know anything about paragraphs. Go become a journalism major. You'll learn all that mm-hmm. stuff." And that's what I did. And it was because, and then when I got ill and I had to miss some of the classes, he still gave me an A for the work that I had done. And because I had those three credits, that motivated me to go mm-hmm. all the way on to end up with a master's degree. So if there's anybody out there, I hope you're listening to these stories, because the only thing that's stopping you is you. You. If you pay attention to what goes on outside and what people tell you, you know, you'll never swim through this mud. Anyway, I just had to say that. It was just very inspiring, your story, very touching, and very, you know, it's typical, especially with young people today. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the CHOPS Teen Center and some other things, and it's just amazing conversation. And, you know, one of the things that I've been trying to do of late is there's so much negative news in the world. You know, it's enough to drive you up a tree. And so I decided for the second songs, I'm going to try to bring something to remind us that we really live in a beautiful world. Like, I went to a concert, we were in a forest, and I looked at all the trees, and I looked at all the people, and the enjoyment, and the dancing, and I thought, wow, what a great world it is. And, you know, I had a little bit incident and found out how strong my legs are, and I thought, wow, I got these strong legs that I can walk on that I'm always so afraid that I'm not as strong because I'm getting older, I'm getting more fragile. So it's really important to remind ourselves. So I pick, and I got to tell you folks something. I'm becoming a Leanne Rimes fan. This woman has the most beautiful voice in the whole world. She's sung this song that I just love. It's called "What a Wonderful World." So we're going to listen to that song and listen to the lyrics. You know, try to take it in. Try to understand. Try to understand that it truly is a beautiful world.
I see trees of green, red. dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more. What a wonderful world. Ooh, yeah, yeah. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What a beautiful song. What a wonderful world it is. But just imagine if we had peace and no wars, you know, lack of racism and all that other stuff. Just imagine how much more we could progress. Here we go again. That was the first song. Anyway, you know, you're listening to live radio, so welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and my name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And with me, sitting here with me, is Lorez Bailey, who is the executive director of the CHOPS Teen Center, and we've been talking about her personal life, and now we're going to go into talking about CHOPS. So, Lorez, welcome back again, you know, and I want to thank you for this. Is just a delightful interview, and I just want to tell my listeners out there that my granddaughter, Caitlin, and Joel, her partner, gave me an A-plus today, so I feel pretty good about that. And they're actually staying here listening to it, which is very exciting. Get to see their grandma in action. Anyway, Lorez, let's talk about CHOPS. Give us a little history. You know, where did the name come from? I mean, I could not believe in my wildest dreams that such a beautiful center, so many wonderful things for our young people.
I'm very lucky. I think if you've never been to CHOPS Teen Club, you need to come in for a tour. CHOPS Teen Club is really the dream, the manifestation of the dream of Charles Chop DeMeo. That was Charles DeMeo's nickname, was Chop. And when the club was first founded, they had a panel of young people to come together and say, what should we name the DeMeo Teen Club? And they actually named it CHOPS Teen Club. So sometimes people think it's an acronym or shortened for something else, but it's an actual Charles DeMeo's nickname. So really, as I said, it was the dream of Charles DeMeo over 20 years ago. He left $14 million and said, you know, we have a quote and we have a bus there that says, well, wait till they see what I've done. They'll be surprised. A lot of people thought Charles DeMeo was a pauper or was poor, and looked at he was a very well-known attorney, and no one had known that he had this nest egg, you know, I jokingly say, hidden in a mattress. No one knew. And CHOPS has been open for 18 years, and about 5 million of that bequest went to build the beautiful 20,000 square foot facility that exists in our community today. And as you said, it's an amazing place. We have a technology and gaming lounge, a gym. We have an art room that has probably every genre of medium or art that you could conceive, a music and recording studio, much like we have here today, but with instruments, and a cafe that still has the original bar, because CHOPS Teen Club was originally Lena's Restaurant. And if you're a long longtime Sonoma County native. You may be familiar with Lena's. And so Chops was originally Lena's restaurant. We have the original bar still there.
Oh, I didn't
and
know
here
that.
We are 18 years later still serving teenagers from 7th through 12th grade. My joke is that we're those people. We actually like teenagers, and people always seem to get that. And it's $60 a year. You can take advantage of all of this opportunity for $60 a year.
Oh, my goodness. So that's about, what, $5 a month?
Yeah. And the thing about it is we are open. Well, now we're in summer hours, so normally we open after school and on Saturdays. But right now we're in summer mode. It's crazy, so we're opening at noon. And we're open from noon to 7 and on Friday and Saturday till 8.
Well, you know, it's a real interesting thing. You know, I go to the meetings a lot at the Arlene Francis Center, so I always park in that little, you know, those parking right. spaces because we get there after 6 o'clock. So I'm just curious, what are some of the challenges that you face? Not just, I know, I'm sure financial is probably one of the major ones, but with the young people themselves and also with the community. And what are some of the challenges that you face around working with young people?
I think originally the community was concerned. I think that even to this day, we have a lot of stereotypes about young people. At that time, I think Charles DeMeo really wanted a place for young people to be so that they could be the best and that they didn't have to worry about truancy or somewhere to go and have adults that care about them. But even to this day, there's a lot of stereotypes about teenagers that they're apathetic, they don't care about anything, all they are is on their phones, there's nothing that they're passionate about, and I can tell you that's absolutely not true. It just looks different. They're going to post it on Instagram and say, this is what I care about. They're not going to be out protesting or, you know, if we even look out last year, how many kids walked out of school about subjects that they felt were really important to them. But what I think young people are facing right now is being unattached. You know, they can get into those electronic devices and not do the human contact. So that's really important to us at CHOPS that we really talk about that. And if you come visit there, you will not see a lot of heavy cell phone use. It's really different than people expect. They're not a lot of heavy cell phone use. And it's their place. They get to move around it. And if you ever come visit, they'll greet you. They'll talk to you. They'll say hello to you. They'll shake your hands because it's their space. But what they're facing, some of the things have not changed. Bullying, I probably spend more time down at the front counter with the staff talking to young people about the bullying they experience. And schools are just not equipped to help every single kid who's experiencing that. So a lot of that is helping them talk through it. You can't solve it, but you can help them understand that there's a place for that. So I think the social media, learning what's appropriate, not appropriate, and also how long it can last. Yeah, now maybe that picture's cute, but you actually may really want to run for president. You really may want to be governor, and you may not be thinking about that picture that you post at 15 will be there forever because somebody screenshot it. You know, you can delete it, but somebody already took a picture of it. So it's really teaching them how to navigate that and think long term because their brains are not fully formed yet and they don't think about down the road sometimes the implications of the things that they do or how they can be perceived. So I think it's that. I think that there's always some core things. I have a lot of people always ask me, how many at-risk kids do you have at CHOPS? And I tell my staff, sometimes that's code for poor or of color, and I don't answer that question. What I feel is all teenagers are vulnerable. And one of the things I say, it doesn't matter if you come from a two-parent, high socioeconomic home, two Tesla home, you are still dealing with the same crap that we all dealt with in eighth grade. I don't know about everyone else, but eighth grade wasn't my most favorite time of the world. And I don't know, I haven't ran into one person that was like, I loved middle school. If I could go back to middle school, there's not one person like that. So what really makes CHOPS special is the fact that we're there to mentor. You know, I always say it is a beautiful building. And I keep saying, if you've never been there, come in for a tour. But it's really about the mentorship that happens. That's the most important thing that takes place at CHOPS.
Well, I wanted to go back a little bit. Sure. You know, some of the things that you listed are just amazing. And when you send me the brochure and I went on the website and I start looking at things, I was just amazed at how many things are available. So what are some of the more popular things that help address some of those issues? Like, I know when I think of myself in the eighth grade, you know, or at that time, God forbid I would tell anybody anything that was going on. I may tell a friend, but I would never tell an adult or someone that may be able to help me. So how do you feel that people can maybe encourage, because there's certain things available at CHOPS that maybe to send a youth right there.
So as I said, everyone thinks a lot of times it's just a place where kids hang out, and they do hang out, but we have tons of enriching programs and classes going on. But really, our staff, their number one job is to serve as mentors. The games, the opportunities are to get kids in the building so that they can have those relationships with caring adults. I say that I hope that we're sending home a kinder, gentler teenager at the end of the day, because they've had a chance to debrief about their day in an environment that's not judgy, because as parents, we have a lot of opinions about things, and I can say that very clearly as I have three daughters of my own. You've had a meal, because we have a cafe, and we also have partnered with the food bank. So you've had a meal, you've got your gaming time in, you've had Wi-Fi, we have homework help, and I hope that by when a parent picks you up at 7 o'clock, they're going, whew, I got a kinder human than I would have had a few hours ago if I had just seen you right after school. So I hope that that's one way that we support them, is giving them a safe space. But I also think, you know, we're talking about changes in schools. The arts are not as prevalent due to, you know, the budget restrictions, the music. And what we can say is that we're a real outlet for that. But that is actually when kids tell you things. If you walk in the door and you just go, how was your day? Generally, teenagers are like, oh, it's fine, it's good, leave me alone, whatever. But if they're drawing or they're playing basketball or they're doing something creative, they talk. That's when they talk. And you have to be that vessel for that and hold that and respect that. And know sometimes you're going to hear things that are scary. We have a lot of kids that have had suicidal ideation or have tried to commit suicide or have mental health issues. And sometimes the families don't even know.
So are you saying, so the feeling that I'm getting, which is really a great concept, so you're feeling that your staff are trained to have ears to hear what's going on with these young people so they can kind of intervene and become a mentor, not tell them, but all of a sudden at least there's an awareness and that they can offer their time to talk.
I'm so proud of the work that we do at CHOPS, and every week our team meets and we talk about what's going on with our kids. One is the majority of our mentor staff tend to be current Sonoma State students or JC students. They're also just figuring out how to navigate their lives, yet they're in this role of being a support. And there's sometimes wisdom and life experiences they haven't even had yet. You know, sometimes you don't really know how to deal with kids, sometimes until you've had them yourself. And we meet every week and we talk about what's going on with our families, what's going on with our kids, what kind of behavioral things are we seeing, how do we counteract that? You know, we're not in a disciplinary mode, we're in problem-solving mode. And how do we work with our staff and our families and our parents? And we also have a lot of organizations that bring, for example, foster youth or kids that they see facing challenges. How do we all work together as a community, as well as with the schools? We're very, very connected to the schools. How do we all work together as a community to support these young people and let families know? Because you would think that families understand, oh, that's a teenager, but they really don't understand a lot of times what's going on.
Well, I think most of us. I remember when my grandchildren were growing up, and you know, my daughter and my son-in-law, we would talk, and I would tell them all the time, don't forget what it was like when you were a teenager, because that's what they're going through, you know, and to understand that. And, you know, it is difficult. It is difficult. And that's why I think all these support mechanisms are so, so important. And like you said, the ears, those ears to listen, you know, and to be there. And people give signals. We all give signals. That's what's so interesting, to just pay attention to the signals. Well, you know, I just like to know, you know, right now when I was looking through all your information, I saw that you have a very, very rich summer program. And I know you say this, the $60, you know, it's $60, and I'm wondering if there's any scholarships or anything that, you know, maybe someone doesn't, you know, I mean, and you know, if you don't have the $60, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of. I think what I know when I was going through some hard times with my daughter, and CETA was involved, the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act, I had no problem. Sometimes I'd go and I'd say, look, I really want her in this program, but right now financially I can't meet this. Is there anything that you can do? And there's no shame in that, because two things happen. One, when you ask somebody and they can give it to you. You become a giver and a receiver together. You're doing good work. And the most important thing is you're taking care of that young person. So it's really, really important. So talk a little bit about your summer program and how that is run. I mean, it's kind of interesting to me as I was looking at it, because I know you're open. It's from
12 noon.
Yeah, 12 noon. So talk about that and if there are any scholarships.
Sure. So we don't want to turn any young person away from CHOPS because they can't afford the membership fee. So we have the Judy Fromm Scholarship Fund. Judy Fromm was a beloved board member of ours, dedicated board member, and really passed away, I won't say suddenly, but much before her time. And one of the things that her family said that she loved CHOPS, and she helped create a scholarship fund so that no young person will ever be turned away for CHOPS, you know, to be there and be open for them. You had another question I wanted to answer. I can't remember. You said being turned away, you know, that's opportunities there. But what I also want to say, or we're talking about the summer programming. So there is that side of CHOPS is free choice based. That means that they can go from space to space to space and decide what they want to do. Sometimes they follow their mentor from space to space. But then there's also like all these amazing classes and enriching programs that Melissa Stewart, our director of programs, has diligently, and is so robust and so fun. So we're doing things like San Francisco field trip, where we're not charging any young person to attend. We're covering lunch. We're going to Chick-fil-A. You know, I should say, if you're a teenager, you know Chick-fil-A because it's big for us. We're going to Chick-fil-A. We're going to the city for a day, and we're providing T-shirts, backpacks, meals, and they don't have to bring a thing. But then there's things like we're partnering with the Lime Foundation and doing the Next Gen Construction program to introduce young people into construction careers.
Before you go further, explain that Lime program a little bit, because to me it sounds like it's like almost like an internship. Or
which program?
The Lime program.
Oh, the Lime. So the Lime Foundation is actually really the brainchild of Letitia Hanke, who is a woman who's fabulous and has her own roofing company.
Oh yeah,
here.
I know her very well.
Yeah, and so part of what she's passionate about is seniors, so she has a senior program, senior nutrition program, the Turner's Arts Initiative, and then she has the Next Gen Construction Program. One, it's a workforce development, pipeline development, because it's a serious gap in this community. If we didn't have it before, the fires just even made that more of an issue. And she really wanted to have an exploratory a class where you could learn all these different trades, but while you're in CHOPS, you can see masonry, and you can learn, see what does the electrical look like, and what are all those different aspects of construction, and then when you successfully complete the program, you're guaranteed a job.
You know, that's the power of two women coming together. Because I know Letitia. I love her. She's amazing. Oh, my goodness. So you're kind of complimenting each other. It's kind of working together.
Well, we just care about teens. If you're a CHOPS member, you're not a CHOPS member, we just want great opportunities. And when people are doing great things for kids, if there's a way to partner and use our resources, you know, we want to. But I could go on this summer, as you said, this summer brochure, I could just go on and on and on about all the different art classes. We have Eric Castro coming in. If you don't know Eric Castro, he's part of the Pulitzer Prize winning Press Democrat. He's also been an award winning documentarian. He's coming in and he's teaching photography, and you're just using their cell phones. We have welding, we have screen printing, acrylic printing. We have a new initiative, really excited about, Caring Strangers program is now being housed at CHOPS, and it's called Teens Helping Kids, and it's our new community service arm of CHOPS. We had a wonderful, generous organization give us a very nice donation to help teens help kids, and that's kicking off this summer. So we're going to be doing backpacks with school supplies, and we're partnering with the Salvation Army to do backpacks of food. So we're just really excited about all of the things that are. I would just say go to our CHOPS Teen Club website. That's the best way, because I could never tell you in this short amount of time all the amazing things we have going for this summer.
Oh, I agree with that. You know, all of a sudden I said to myself, I want to be a teenager. I want to go.
Agreed.
I want to. Oh, wonderful, wonderful work. Well, we're coming to the end of this segment, and are there any last words? Oh, that doesn't sound good. You know, any last ideas or thoughts that you would like to share? And also, give us your website, how they can get a hold of you.
Sure.
And any inspiration that you want to offer to our women listeners. I think it's very, very important. I think it's important, too, that I want to compliment you on being here and on all the things that you are doing on behalf of young people. And also to give us the history, you know, of how the name came about, you know, Chops. It's an interesting, do you have any idea why they called him Chops?
I hear a story that when he went to school, there were three Charles, and the teacher said, one of you are Charles, one of you are Chuck, and one of you are Chop. So I don't know if that's true, but I thank you for the opportunity about women. I just want to say, I am definitely held up by a strong contingency of women in this community who are there to be my, am I crazy friends? You know, like, what am I seeing? And I also say that for me, as an African-American woman, I definitely face a lot of challenges. But often I tell people sometimes the sexism here is worse than the racism. And thank you to my woman tribe that supports me greatly from all different sectors of Sonoma County. So I just want to give a shout out to all of them. And then back to Chops, I just want to say for anyone who's connected to a young person in any way, be your workplace, I always say unless there's a zombie apocalypse, we're going to always have young people. And just really encourage anybody who's looking for a great organization to support or for young people, come to Chops. You can always have a tour. If we're in open hours, we will always be happy to have a tour. And just come in and see it, because once you come in, we got you.
You know, I want to just validate what you said. You know, Shirley Chisholm, when they asked her, what is it harder? Is it harder to be black or is it harder to be a woman? She says, absolutely a woman. So, I mean, it's very, very interesting. And ladies, listen to that. You know, go on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com, and read the poem, I Am Women, I Am All Women. And see that we are all connected and we must all stand together and support one
right.
another.
And that urban legend that women cannot work together and get along is just a fake news.
Fake news. Well, thank you so much, my friends. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Well, this has been a wonderful, wonderful interview. And I'm looking and I think I have about 2 minutes left. Is that true, Ken? Well, come on over here, Katie. Come on, I'm going to talk to my granddaughter here who sat through the whole show and give us some feedback. Don't be afraid. Come on, come down by the mic. What did you think of the show all in all?
Oh, very inspiring.
What was inspiring for you?
Well, just from beginning to end hearing Lorez's story, that she was told she didn't have a future going to college and she didn't listen to that, and now look at her. Now she's helping young people who might hear the same thing and making sure that doesn't bring them down. And that's beautiful. I want to go to Chops.
Come here. Now I want to ask you another question. So what brings you to Sonoma County today? What, for Father's Day?
Yes, I came to see my father. I live in Santa Cruz.
And you saw our beautiful, my granddaughter here is now a aunt.
Yes.
You're able to see your little Satori?
Yes.
What was that like, seeing that little baby?
She is a grumpy little child. But she's adorable, so I give her kisses even when she pushes me away.
So just tell our listening audience just a little bit about what you do.
I am a video editor, and I actually did videos for nonprofits. And it was very inspiring, always learning about new nonprofits and... Chops seems like such a wonderful organization, and I would love to go see it. I'm wondering if maybe I ever came across it when I was younger, because I grew up in Santa Rosa.
Well, please come back and visit.
Yeah, it sounds like such a great facility, and now I'm wishing that
Well, like I said, I want to be a teenager. So
I know.
So what does that entail, being a video editor? What does that mean? What is that?
Well, it was actually for a company that would work for the nonprofits in Silicon Valley, and we would interview these people who were running the programs and clients who benefited from the programs, and then I would put their story together into about 3 minutes, and then it would be played at fundraisers, and people would give us money after that.
Are you still doing that? Because I have a fall event, but I'm going to be needing that.
I'm actually not with the company anymore, but we'll have to talk after this.
Oh my goodness. Connections, networking over the air. Well, folks, this has been a wonderful show. Thank you so much, Katie, and thank you so much, Lorraiz Bailey, for being on Women's Spaces and for sharing your story and for sharing the beautiful, beautiful program they have. And remember, all that we said today is going to be on www.womenspaces.com. So if you didn't hear the email or you didn't hear the website, it's all there. And we're also going to put the program on there for CHOP so you can see. It's the easiest thing I've ever gone through. Well, you've been listening to Women's Spaces. I've been your host, Elaine B. Holt. I want to remind you once again, the children are our future, and we must never forget about that. And for you mothers out there, remember, what could happen to one mother's child can happen to you. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
The woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 17th, 2019.